today brings to the conclusion the series, and it's a small series I know, on the glory, the power, and authority of God being released in the earth. And thank God for the words that came forth by the Holy Spirit, because they were right on. And thank you, Paul and Kathy, for choosing the songs today. They were amazingly accurate for the teaching. So thank you for that. So in conclusion then of our series, I'm today going to talk about the fact that the glory of God is in us, on us, and with us, or you could say around us. So for those who gave words by the Holy Spirit, isn't that crazy? Not really, because he knows, huh? Confirms his word with signs following. So today I want to go back, as we've discussed in our four-part series, that the glory of God is also a manifestation of the Holy Spirit, and that Jesus was raised from the dead by the glory and by the Father, by the Holy Spirit. So we understand that. I don't want to lay that foundation again. I just want to remind you the Holy Spirit is the glory of God that was released in the earth. And we know Jesus said this in Acts, and it's not in your notes, in Acts 2:4, you might remember, he said, and they were all filled. Well, Jesus said, you will be filled, but then they were all filled on the day of Pentecost. He said they were filled, which means they got inside, the Holy Spirit got inside them. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And then in 1 Corinthians 6:19, it tells us that we are the temple. That's a very common scripture. We all know that. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. He used to live in temples made with hands, but now he lives in our body. He lives inside. It was always God's plan to live inside his people. All right, that was his plan from the get-go. But because their hearts were desperately wicked, lost in sin, and not born again, he couldn't enter, because sin and God don't go together. Right? So he had to get us clean inside so he could come and live in the house, and then we became his temple. Jesus also said this in Acts 1:8 to his disciples. He said this, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you." So we've seen in, and we know on. The same day that they received the Spirit in them, they also received the Spirit on them. So please remember that. But today what I want to look at is I want you to understand the reality of the fact the Holy Spirit is not only in us, not only on us, but he's also with us. And in particular, he's with us as our comforter, our helper. He's with us as a guide, an advocate, a standby. And we'll get to see more of those as we open up the Amplified Version. So say this with me, in, on, and with.
In, on, and with.
One more time, in, on, and with.
In, on, and with.
So if you leave here today and you can remember nothing else about what I said, can you remember the Holy Spirit is in, on, and with you? Can you remember that? Yeah. So, such a great teacher, huh? You know how long and hard I worked to get those three words. Now, the importance of the Holy Spirit can never be overstated to us as believers, because he recreates our human spirit when we get born again. He is God in us. He reveals to us what we have inherited in Christ and what the Father has provided for us. He is the power and the ability of God in us. He guides us in all things. He is our teacher. Many people don't know that. They think Jesus is the teacher, but according to Jesus, the Holy Spirit is going to teach you. So the teacher becomes the Holy Spirit, and also the Holy Spirit is our teacher. And then also in the little book of John, it reconfirms that he is our teacher. The Holy Spirit enables us to pray the perfect will of God. So if we're not praying in the Holy Spirit, remember this, that you're praying below the capability that God wants you to pray at. And there's something more that you can go to. You can go to a higher level. He also enables us to worship in spirit and truth. And that's why at the Promised Church, you'll see people raising their hands, people speaking other tongues. There's a liberty, there's a freedom in the Holy Spirit. And Jesus told us clearly that the Father will seek those who are worshiping and in spirit and in truth. And that's the reason when these folk enter in and they worship at that level, while you'll see them, some of them can't stand, they go down and they kneel. They're not just trying to be, you know, religious or something. Literally, the presence of God upon them is such a nature, it's such a manifestation. Not only do their hearts melt, but their strength. And they sense it's necessary for me to kneel in honor and worship of him. And the presence of the Father, when the presence of the Father shows up and you realize he's with you, there's nothing you can do. I tell you, when we get to see the Father and Jesus on that day, nobody can be walking around like, oh, so it's you. No. I think we're going to be flat on our face. We're going to be like the angel telling us, you can stand up now. You can stand up. You've been made righteous. And then most of us will just get to our knees and say, no, I'm not even going to. Can I look at him? We have this expectation, but the Father shows up now, even while we're in the flesh, and we have this amazing sensation. He reveals the future. As I'm saying, we can't overstate the presence of the Holy Spirit and the purpose of the Holy Spirit. He shows us the future. He is the glory of God given to us by Jesus. He is. He imparted to us the glory of God. He is our comforter, our helper, our advocate, our standby, and on it goes. Do you know that in the last meeting that Jesus had with his disciples, it's recorded from John 14 all the way to John 16. It's three chapters. There's a lot of stuff that gets said in that meeting. But do you know that in that last meeting, Jesus referred to the Holy Spirit as the comforter and mentioned him four times as the comforter in that one meeting? Well, when something is mentioned more than once in the scriptures, it's important. If it's mentioned like three times, you need to really pay attention. If it's mentioned four times in a short burst of time, short span of time, it becomes super, super critical important. And that's what we have to understand, is when Jesus mentioned the Holy Spirit and called him the Comforter, we need to understand that Jesus was really trying to drive home a point about who the Holy Spirit is. We'll start in John 14, verse 16, and Jesus said this, I will pray the Father, or I will ask the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter. In other words, Jesus just called himself a comforter. He said the Holy Spirit is going to be another comforter. He said that he was going to go to the Father, but he was going to send another comforter, that he, this comforter, may abide with you forever. So this comforter is going to stay with you, abide with you, be real close to you forever. He mentions it also in John 14, 26, in John 15, 26, and then again in John 16 and verse 7. I don't want to show you all of those verses, but I do want to show you this particular verse, and I'm going to show it to you from the Amplified Bible. Jesus said, however, I'm telling you nothing but the truth. When I say it is profitable, it is good, it is expedient, advantageous for you that I go away, that I go to heaven, that I leave you guys. Because they were having a problem with this. They had grown to love and depend upon Jesus. He was their leader. He was their mentor. He was their master. He was their rabbi. He was everything to them. He was the miracle worker, the water walker. Everything you can imagine he was and more. And now he's saying, I'm going to leave you. That had to be devastating for them to realize, I'm going to be alone. My master is leaving me. Who am I going to follow? How am I going to cope without him being there? And he says, I want you to understand something. It's actually better for you that I go. And they go, I can't get my head around that. Because even today, as Christians, we often wish that Jesus would show up. Sometimes we get to the place in our life where we are so down and having such difficulties, we can't understand which way to go. We feel so miserable and depressed. And we pray a prayer like, oh, Jesus, if you would just show up and talk with me, I need to know. Hey, I've prayed that prayer, so don't duck your heads. I've prayed that prayer. You get to a place where you're just at the end of your rope, and the only thing you can think of is, if Jesus was here, I could ask him. Right? Okay, thank you for those three honest people. Jesus said, it's good, expedient, advantageous for you that I go away, because if I do not go, the Comforter will not come to you. So this is the last time he refers to him as the Comforter. And he said, if I don't go, the Comforter won't come. And he's referring to the Holy Spirit. Now, the Amplified Bible says, he takes this word Comforter and says, Counselor, Helper, Advocate, Intercessor, Strengthener, and Standby. These are alternative renderings of the Greek word for the word comforter. And he said, I will go. He said, if I go, not if I don't go away, he said, the comforter will not come to you. Now notice these words, into close fellowship with you. But if I go away, I will send him to you to be in close fellowship with you. You notice the Amplified Bible expands the word comforter and uses these alternative Greek renderings, counselor, helper, advocate, intercessor, stand by, and standby, and so on. Just say that with me. Say those words with me. Say counselor, helper, advocate, intercessor, strengthener, standby. So we get, you know, most of us don't study Greek, read Greek, because it's all Greek to us. Even when we look it up in the concordances, it still doesn't make any sense to me. And how many of you have ever been to the nation of Greece? How many of you have ever been to the nation of Greece? Do you know that was the most difficult time we ever had? Because all their signs are in Greek. They don't care that you don't speak Greek. It's a means of protection. If anybody attacked that country, they wouldn't stand a chance. They wouldn't be able to find a way around. But seriously, it's all in Greek. So the Greek word for the word comforter, and I'm going to help you here, is the word parakletos. All right? Parakletos. And as you can see, if you look at this word, you can see very clearly it's divided into two words. The first part of this word is the word para, P-A-R-A. See that? Very easy. Very easy. And the second word is the word kletos. Now, the word para, and this is important for us to understand, because you can understand now why the Amplified Bible was expounding it and why Jesus was making such a big thing about calling him the comforter. He says, the comforter, the word para, means alongside. It's the idea of being very close to someone or something, very close. And so the Amplified Bible expounds the understanding for us of the position the Holy Spirit will have in our lives. According to Jesus, the Holy Spirit is going to be in close fellowship with you. Close fellowship with you. Now, you know, Jackie is a good example in my life of the meaning of this word, because we are constantly side by side. We were very close before she had the stroke. We used to work together. We worked together our whole life in ministry. It's going on 40 years. And we used to have lunch together, breakfast, whatever it is, and we were very close. After the stroke, we became even closer. And I mean, you understand why. And so this closeness has affected both of us. It's affected both of us because we have grown, I guess, as most couples who stay married a long time, you grow to love the same things. So we love sitting in our garden, watching the plants grow. You know you're getting old when every day you walk out and you go, there's a new leaf here. Look at this, sweetheart. Oh, look at that flower. The rose has got a flower on it. Pour me another cup of coffee. I need some adrenaline. All right, don't trip over the crack in the concrete, that expansion gap. We have grown to love watching romantic Hallmark movies. I'm just saying this out loud. I'm sorry for all you guys, and the gals have been all over you. It's girly movies. I know it's girly movies. All I can say is this. I was forced to go there because I couldn't watch R-rated movies anymore. It was all that was left. The rating G means good. The rate R means run. Run away. G means good. Okay? So we've grown to love the same things. We also have the same attitudes about different things. You know, Jackie doesn't drive. She's co-pilot. But we both are frustrated with people in front of us who should not be in the fast lane, who need to move out of the fast lane because there's nobody in front of them. She's just as bad as me. What are they doing? Get around them. Come on. What are they doing? Blow the horn, flash your lights. She's wild. I know you wouldn't think so about her, but she's wild. And when we do pass on the inside, yeah, I know, forgive me. Give them that look. There is the California look when you have to pass on the inside. It's like, where are you from? Oklahoma? I know there's not two lanes there, but there is four lanes here. Go back and get your driver's license. Right side for slow people. I've got a life to live. We have the same attitudes. Don't chew ice in our presence or click gum in our presence. Do you know that we used to have a no gum policy in our church? It was a spit policy. If you're chewing gum, spit. How many remember those days? Come on, raise your hands. It's true. You see the people on the... Yeah, it's true. It was all Paul. He said, we don't want any gum on the carpets. That's what it was. It was Paul's fault. But we agreed with him. We supported him. And honestly, we have grown so close together that there's times that I know what she's thinking. How many of you know that? You can know what they're thinking. You can read their face. You know what you're thinking. And then she says this to me. Don't say it. Let me say it. She says that. Let me speak. Mm-mm, don't you say it. All right. Doesn't mean you won just because you get to say it. I let her win all the time. I do. I let her win. But that's the relationship the Holy Spirit wants with you. He wants you to be that close that you know what he's thinking. You have the same attitudes, same habits. You like the same things. You dislike the same things. There's a beautiful song we sing and says, Lord, let the things that break your heart break mine. And that's an attitude of being so close to God. Many of you have heard this, but while Jackie was in hospital, you know, I was her comforter. I was her comforter. I would help so many times. She'd been in hospital for about 3 or 4 days. She's can't talk. She's blind. She's mute. And I'm in the thing, and I'm looking down at her eyes, and we're communicating by a squeeze. One squeezes yes, two squeezes no. That's all she can do. I'm looking down at her eyes, and I noticed they're bloodshot. They're red. Well, that could be from lack of sleep. And then suddenly, inside of me, I go, wait. She used to use natural teardrops. Oh, that's $100 the building fund, brother, right there. Thank you so much. That's your whole summer earnings gone. No? Okay. And I'm reminded she uses eye drops. And I go back and I get the eye drops and I come in and I put the eye drops in because her eyes had gone dry and red because it had been 3 or 4 days without eye drops. I was her comforter. Then there was this, trying to get the people not to draw blood out of this section of her arm here because they can't find her veins. She has very thin veins that roll, and you have to use a butterfly needle, if you know what I'm talking about. You have to draw very slowly. And I'd come back to the hospital for a few hours, and then, boom, there's these puncture marks everywhere. You know when people try to draw blood from you? Have you ever been to somebody to give blood, and they can't find your vein? And they go in, and they insist they can find it? It's in here somewhere. It's in here somewhere. You know the other hand is for slapping. That's what the other hand is for. Spirit of slap coming you real quick. You're trying to get blood out. Like, it's so painful. And so I would leave big letters above the bed. Don't take blood out of here. You can't find the vein. Take it. And even this is very painful, but they had to take it out of her wrist. So, you know, eventually they had an IV in, and that worked. And then there was the feeding tube. It was going through her nose in the beginning. And then, you know, I've discovered one time that it hadn't... It wasn't working. It hadn't been working for maybe 12 hours. She's been starving and can't tell anybody, living off the fluid. She's starving. She can't speak, and nobody even realized. They put her on a pneumatic bed. I don't know if you know this. Sometimes the beds, they put bed in so you don't get pneumonia. So they keep you moving, and the bed moves by itself. It just blows up and moves like this. Three or four occasions I came in and said, this bed is not moving, not moving. And they tried to repair it and eventually replaced it. They actually replaced it twice, but I was the one who discovered this bed is not moving. And I told, this is an intensive care. This is intensive care when you've got two nurses looking after it and they can't figure out the bed is not moving. So, there was many times when I was her comforter. But even at that time, you know, the Holy Spirit was my comforter too. I was hers, but he was mine. I'll never forget, it had been about 2 days or 3 days, and I was sitting in the waiting room, and I was paging through the Bible. I was looking for scripture to help me, because I was brokenhearted, I was distraught. I mean, I was crying, I can't keep it together. Just emotional, praying, trying to believe God for it to live, and yet I'm crying, I'm broken up, see. This is not a faith, man. You got to keep it together. You're not allowed to have emotions. And I was looking for a scripture, and my eyes fell on the scripture in Hebrews and said, cast not away your confidence, because they have great recompense of reward. And I knew the Holy Spirit was speaking to me. And I said, Holy Spirit, I don't have any confidence, none. And you're telling me don't cast away my confidence. How is it that you think I've got confidence? I'm talking to the Holy Spirit. I'm saying, I'm crying. I'm sitting in this room crying. I'm trying to read the Bible. And I said, my mind is in 1,000 places. I'm being battered around. And instantly, I haven't had many visions, but instantly I had a little vision, very quick, of a little boat being tossed around in wind and waves, just being bashed around. It was just like a little rowboat. And there was a chain attached to an anchor. Look at this. And the Holy Spirit said to me, the wind and the waves, the problems, are causing your emotions to be bounced around like a little boat. That's okay. It's okay. Because you're attached to an anchor. Your faith is attached to an anchor. You aren't going anywhere. Your confidence is solid in God, even if your emotions are being thrashed by the storm. And I know that's a word for somebody here today. Because you've been thrashed by the storm, and you're wondering, where's God in your storm? And you feel like you're just going to be end up on the rocks. And I've got news for you. Don't cast away your confidence, because honestly, in your heart, you are believing God. And it's okay if your emotions go south. We're made emotional people, otherwise we couldn't love. We've been made that way. But we've also been made to have faith. So I was thinking, the Holy Spirit is our friend, right? He's in close fellowship. He's our friend. So I want to ask you, I'm going to present two pictures of two different friends, and tell me which one you want. You're in hospital, and the first friend comes to the nurse's station and leaves their latest book that they've just written and a pile of CDs of sermons for your encouragement, and asks the nurses to give it to you, and leaves without coming to greet you or to you know, chat with you or anything. The second friend comes, doesn't go to the nurse's station or leave anything, but comes to your room, sits by your bed, holds your hand, and talks to you for about an hour, encourages you, prays with you, loves on you, and says, I'll be back tomorrow. Which friend do you want? Second one? See, that's who the Holy Spirit wants to be in our life. Let me explain why. The Bible is the book he authored and wrote. But when you're sick and need help, or you have marital problems or financial problems, he just doesn't dump the Bible on your head and say, it's up to you. He draws alongside and says, let me explain something. See this verse? This is for you right now. I wrote this, and this is going to help you right now. He doesn't leave you alone. That's the friend that you want. Even though he wrote the book, he's going to help you explain it to you. Amen? So that's the friendship we're looking for. Now, the Holy Spirit, as I said, is not only in us and on us, but he's also with us. He's with us to comfort us. The word standby was one of the words that the Amplified Bible used, the word standby. And actually, it's a great word that describes what the Holy Spirit does for us. It's a great interpretation of the word parakletos because it perfectly describes the close standby position from which the Holy Spirit can help you and guide you, empower you, and lead you in every way of your life. Now, the second part of the word parakletos is this word kletos. Now, you'll notice that I misspelt it. I got the E and the L the wrong way because it's all Greek to me. So, it's not keltos. It should be K-L-E. All right? My bad. Now, this word means to call. It has a sense of strategic purpose. It means a specific intent, a concrete direction. Example of that word would be used was when you were called to salvation. When the Holy Spirit called you to salvation, that's the word that was used, kletos. All right? Or when you are called to serve in a local community, local church like this. I mean, just show of hands. How many of you are in a department in this church and you really feel that's where God wants you to serve? Can you see your hand? See, that's remarkable because you'd say, well, I'm not in full-time ministry. No, no, no. You are in the place where God wants you and he literally called you to that place. That's the word that was used, kletos. It's a knowing, it's clear, it's strategic, it's decisive. I'm calling you to serve in that capacity. And the rest of you who didn't raise your hand, see me afterwards, okay? Because I've got a kletos for you. Praise God, praise God. Okay. Now, the word parakletos, if I put it together, is also what the Holy Spirit, believe it or not, is called to do. Now, we've been talking about what he's doing for us. I'm going to turn this thing around now. I'm going to show you another side that's going to actually freak you out. The word parakletos was a job description given to the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I'm going to ask the Father to give you a parakletos. He had a job description that he was to fulfill. He was to be parakletos to you. Was his job description, as Jesus was to be Savior, which is that direct calling. He was the one to die on the cross. Holy Spirit did not die. Father did not die. Jesus died. Got it? A particular calling. Now, had Jesus not died, we would not be saved. Holy Spirit was given a calling and a job description. You are to be parakletos to my church. That's your job. All right, I got really excited about it. I must be honest with you. This time, I thought you'd all be on your feet, clapping, shouting, and screaming. Too late. You had your chance. But I'm going to sip water. You think about what you missed. Everybody say sila, which means think about it. All right. So he was given this job, a specific calling, a work to be done. He had a purpose and a job description given to him by the Father. So he's called to be our helper. He is called to be our helper. That's what he's called to be. So imagine this. No matter what you're going through in your life, no matter if it's day or night, doesn't matter how bad things are, where there's problems financially, where there's problems with your health, where there's problems in your family, it doesn't matter how bad things are. You never, ever have to beg the Holy Spirit to be close to you. Never have to do that. And I want to thank people who prayed for me this week because I sensed the comfort of the Holy Spirit. In terribly stressful 2 weeks. And I sense the comfort that only the Holy Spirit can provide. So you don't have to beg him to be close. Things get bad, things get rough, things get tough and stressful. You don't have to say, oh, Holy Spirit, if you only you were here. You don't have to say, oh, Jesus, if only you were here and showed up. You can say, I know you are here. I know, Holy Spirit, you're with me. You're in me. You're on me. Because Jesus said he'd never leave me or forsake me. As bad as things are, I know. I know you're with me. And I open my heart to your comfort. I open my heart to receiving the help that you want to impart to me right now. Amen? Amen. Finally, let me wrap this up. The word parakletos can also mean advocate. And it was one of the words that we looked at this morning, advocate. Now, if you don't understand what an advocate is, I'm going to help you because I really didn't understand. I've been involved with attorneys and advocates, and I just thought it was another name for an attorney. And I didn't realize that an attorney can't represent you in court, that you have to appoint an advocate to represent you in court. And his fees are two or three times what your attorney's fees would be. So they just give them a different title so they can earn more money. But let me explain to you. An advocate, the word is actually a legal term. It's a legal term. And it denotes a legal assistant, a counsel for the defense. He is the advocate who is an intercessor. In other words, he's one who pleads your case. So he speaks to support you. He speaks in your favor. He speaks on behalf of someone, someone who acts on behalf of another person in a legal setting, maybe in front of a judge. Usually it's in front of a judge. So when Jackie is in hospital, and obviously I draw a lot from what we've gone through because it's been 18 years, and during your times of the tough times that you go through, God will speak to your heart and he will give you insight to what you're going through. There were times, well, every day, where when Jackie lay down to sleep, I would go sit outside the door and make sure she could rest. Because honestly, they would wake her up every 2 or 3 hours. And I eventually told the doctors and the nurses, it's not the stroke that's going to kill her, it's you. From a lack of sleep. She needs to sleep. How many of you feel like if you don't get a good night's sleep, the next day you're like a zombie? You're short-tempered, headache, and all kinds of stuff. Not me. I'm never like that. Anyway. This is not a time to hang out dirty washing. This one time, we were in the second hospital, and she was only could say one word. She could just say, ja. She was starting to speak. It was only, ja. That's what she could say. It's from her German-Dutch background. So she'd gone down to sleep. She'd just done some exercises, gone down to sleep. And I was sitting outside praying at the door shut. And I put a sign, please do not disturb. She's sleeping. And I'm sitting outside the door. When she hadn't been asleep half an hour, along comes a nurse. He's going to draw blood from her. And I said, excuse me, sir. I said, she's just gone down to sleep. Can you come back in a couple of hours? Give her just 2 hours break before you said, no, I can't do that. Unfortunately, this is my shift, and I've got to do the blood now. I said, please understand, she's battling for her life. And, I mean, drawing blood is not going to change the situation. 2 hours this way. Just please work with me on this, okay? And he said, I appreciate what you're saying, but I've got to draw the blood. It's my job. At that point, my lack of sleep kicked in. And I jumped in between the door and him. And I said, I'm going to tell you something. I have 2 black belts in karate, one from the Korean style, one from Japanese style. The only person who's going to give blood today is you. I said, you need to back off. I asked you nicely, but I can ask you another way. He stepped back, he pulled his sheet out, and he said, boy, just as well you spoke to me. It's the wrong patient. Lie, whatever makes you happy, that's fine. And as I sat down, inside of me, I heard these words, son, you're being an advocate to Jackie as I am to the church. And I realized, oh, wow. You know, we don't really understand the ministry of the Holy Spirit, where He comes in between us and trouble. And He's our legal representative. He is fighting our case for us. He is defending us. Now, we know that an attorney is a legal representative. We understand that. That's when, and we hire them. But an advocate pleads your case as a legal defense. Now, let me explain this. The advocate knows the entire law. He knows everything. He knows the entire law. He also knows the correct procedures. Because, you know, if you're going to go to court, you're going to have procedures. He knows what to do and what not to do. And that's why we hire him to defend us. Because he's the one who knows all these procedures. So he argues our case in front of the judge. Remember this, the Holy Spirit is the author of the Bible, right? Holy men wrote as they were moved by the Spirit. They were anointed by the Spirit. So the whole Bible is being written by the Holy Spirit. It's like your legal defense advocate knows the entire law. But the Holy Spirit also knows the application of this word in your case, wherever you are, that can get done what you need done. So many times what we'll do is we'll take the Bible and we'll just point our finger at it and say, well, let me just use this scripture in my prayer, and it doesn't work. You flip over and you read, okay, Judas went and hung himself. Okay, now that doesn't work. Okay, let me get another one. You flip over your pages, you go and do likewise. Okay, that doesn't work either. Okay, that's not how you get guidance, all right? Holy Spirit is going to guide you in the scriptures in order to bring about the best defense. So invoke His counsel. Seek His help. He knows what is required in the kingdom of God to get the result that you need. And remember this, Satan is your accuser. In this lawsuit, we've got the Father judge, we've got the advocate, and we've got Satan the accuser. And then there's you. And you have to depend upon the Holy Spirit as your legal defense. Let me wrap it up with these two statements. The glory, power, and authority of God has been released in the earth. But even more than that, it has been given to you. It wasn't released in the earth just to float around. It was given specifically for the church, for the bride. And my last statement is this. The glory, the power, and the authority of God is in and on and with you. Calling you, empowering you, directing you, comforting you, and helping you in every area of your life. Amen? All right. Now you can give the Lord praise. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.